Well, we always want to provide an immense value-based experience. And that's really what it's about, because the first thing we have to understand, and this is when we talk about the law of value, about giving more in value than you take in payment, which if you first hear with no context, that sounds like a recipe for bankruptcy. Give more in value than you take in payment, right? Yeah. But then you think about the difference between price and value. Mm-hmm. Price is a dollar figure. It's a dollar amount. It's finite. It is what it is. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the end user or beholder. What is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, idea, that brings so much worth overall to another human being that they will willingly exchange their money for it and be ecstatic that they did, while you make a very healthy profit?
Welcome to the Rockstars Rocking Podcast, powered by Voluntary Disruption, a show dedicated to people who are crushing their business and life goals. These are bite-sized conversations with leading rock stars in their respective industry who are pumped to share their story to help drive you to the next level. So, are you ready to rock? Speaking of rock stars, here's your host, Eric Silverman.
Hey, social friends, Eric Silverman here, coming to you for our next episode of hashtag Rockstars Rocking. Yes, hashtag Rockstars Rocking. And I am with a good, unbeknownst to him, mentor of mine, a good friend of mine, again, unbeknownst to him, who is totally a rock star in the sales, marketing, management, leadership, influencing industry. Everybody, please welcome Bob Berg. Hey, Bob.
Eric, great to be with you. Thanks for having me. And I knew we were great friends. I didn't know I was a mentor of yours, but I knew we were great friends.
Absolutely. Self-proclaimed visa me to you, mentor. And for those, I imagine everybody's aware, but for those that may not be aware of exactly who you are, let me set it up just a little bit. Bob Berg is a best-selling author of my favorite all-time book. I'm going to block my face for a minute. This is called The Go Giver by Bob Berg and his partner, John David Mann. This book has sold nearly a million copies on its own. And it is truly, over the last many years, almost 10 years now, it's become my, not just business and sales and leadership Bible, but it's become my personal Bible, for lack of a better word. And that's coming from a Jewish guy. And you know, here's the thing, this book is so easy to digest. And I'll tell you why, in my opinion, because it's just a really awesome and genuine story. The way that Bob and John talk about the characters in the book, and really it's just so easy to read and so easy to flow. So I'm not even a big book reader, to be honest with you, but what I love about it is that I could download it on Audible, which I've done, and I listen to it every so often over and over again, and it's quick and easy. I highly recommend. It's the first of a series of books they've done. So they have the Go Giver Influencer, the Go Giver Leader, and Go Giver Sell More. Collectively, all the books have sold nearly 2 million copies. And I can't tell you how excited I am to chat with you today, Bob. You know, little known fact I just learned about Bob. Bob is in Florida now for the last 30 plus years, but he actually grew up in Massachusetts, and he's, I wouldn't say huge, but he was a big fan of the Orioles, which anybody that knows me, I can't help but remind people I'm a big Orioles fan. His cat's name is Calvin, but he says it's not because of Cal Ripken. So, Bob, talk about your early days with baseball. I got to talk about baseball for a second.
I just loved it. I mean, you know, my dream growing up was to be a third baseman for the Boston Red Sox, which I probably could have done had I had one thing, and that is talent, of which I had not. But my favorite third baseman was for an opposing team, was Brooks Robinson. I love, of course, Rico Petrocelli. He started out at short and then moved to third. And later in his career, he was my all-time favorite ball player. But no, I always had a lot of respect for the Orioles. I was a huge Red Sox fan. I lived and died as the Sox won and lost. That's the Boston area. Sure. but always had just a great respect for the Orioles team, their defense, their hitting, their pitching. I mean, they were just, especially the late 60s, early 70s, which is when I was coming along, they were just absolutely dominant. They were fantastic.
Oh, I love hearing that, man. That just tickles me because I am a diehard O's fan the way you're a diehard Red Sox fan, and I totally respect that. You know, to get into the business side and the books and everything I've learned, I mean, as I was telling you, I used to give your book away like it was going out of style. I would do contests centered around, I would talk about how great the book is. I'd talk about all the value. I'd share all the principles and ideas. And people, my sales professionals that were working with me, a lot of them weren't, in their minds, rock stars yet. So they would say, oh, but I can't afford it and I can't do this. So I'd say, great, I'll buy you a copy. Just do X, Y, and Z. Just prospect. Just get on the phone. Do something, whatever the contest happened to be. And they loved it. Everything came back, was always rave reviews. So my principle, Bob, has always been, particularly when it comes to giving value, is I try to give 3, 4, 5 times the value, even if it has nothing to do with me or insurance. You know, I happen to be in the insurance and benefits world. For every 4 or 5 that I talk about somebody else, I then feel that it's appropriate that I can talk about myself and what I do. But I practice the 4 to 5 to 1 method. I don't know if you've thought of that or heard of that, but how would you relate to that? And how would that kind of relate to your series of books?
Well, we always want to provide an immense value-based experience. And that's really what it's about. Because the first thing we have to understand, and this is when we talk about the law of value, about giving more in value than you take in payment, which if you first hear with no context, that sounds like a recipe for bankruptcy. Give more in value than you take in payment, right? Yeah. But then you think about the difference between price and value. Mm-hmm. Price is a dollar figure. It's a dollar amount. It's finite. It is what it is. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the end user or beholder. What is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, idea, that brings so much worth overall to another human being that they will willingly exchange their money for it and be ecstatic that they did while you make a very healthy profit. So aside from just the intrinsic value of your product or service, which that in and of itself should be giving much more value than what they're paying, right? While you make a very healthy profit, it's also what you add even more in terms of what we call the elements of value, excellence, consistency, attention, empathy, appreciation. And this is something that you and your team will do from that first, whether it's an inbound or an outbound, or you meet that person somewhere and you through the relationship building process, the follow-up, follow-through, the sales process, the referral process, the continuation. And to the degree that you give them such an amazing experience in dealing with you and your company, that's the degree that you are giving them much more in value than what you're taking in payment. But, you know, the very important is that there should always be two profits, the buyer profits and the seller profits. Because each of them should come away better off afterwards than they were beforehand.
And feeling great about it.
Absolutely, and feeling great about it.
It reminds me of how you talk about in your books, how there's no, and the way I interpret it is that there's no true 50-50, there's no true win-win. That, you know, the old saying of, well, you know, do me a favor and I'll owe you one, and I love how you guys say, then you become a creditor. And that just always resonated with me. Can you speak about that for a second?
Yeah, well, that's why we say 50-50 is a losing proposition. You want it to be 100. Mm-hmm. And that means your focus is on providing immense value to that other person. Now, as you do that, first of all, they are going to totally appreciate it. Right. And if it's supposed to end up that you do business with them directly, great. If not, you don't, but it wouldn't anyway, right? If it wasn't supposed to. But that's also the degree that this person knows you, likes you, trusts you, wants to be in relationship with you, wants to be your personal walking ambassador. The key is that there's nothing self-sacrificial about giving value to another human being. and even placing their interests first. Because of course, we're not talking about being a doormat or a martyr or self-sacrificial, simply that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And there's no faster, more powerful, or more effective way to elicit those feelings toward you from others than by genuinely and authentically moving from an I focus or me focus to an other focus. Or as Sam, one of the mentors in the story, who was in the insurance and financial services profession, as he said to Joe, making your win all about the other person's win. You know, one of the things, Eric, when I speak at a sales conference, I'll often say, and I say it jokingly, not in a dogmatic fashion, but just as I'll say, you know, nobody's going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet. Right. And we all laugh because we know that that's true. Right. And they're not going to buy from you because you have a mortgage payment. They're not going to buy from you because you need the money. They're not even going to buy from you because you're a really nice person.
And the prospect senses desperation. You can see it.
Yeah, exactly. And no, they're going to buy from you because they believe they'll be better off by doing so than by not doing so. And that's the only reason why anyone should buy from you or from me or from anyone else. But here's the great thing. That salesperson who's able to absolutely laser focus on bringing immense value to others, that's the person who creates the environment for that know, like, and trust to take place. This is why John and I say that money is simply an echo of value. It's the thunder, if you will, to values lightning, which simply means the focus must be on the giving of value to the other person. The focus is on the value. The money you receive is simply a very natural result of the value you've provided.
Yeah. And you know, one of the, I'll say in my business life and even personal life, thing that really, always resonated with me and truly changed my outlook was that what we just talked about. It's no such thing as win-win. There's no 50-50. You don't want to be a creditor. Everything we just talked about.
Yep.
But here's the best part that we didn't talk about yet that I wanted to mention. I love how you guys say, stop keeping score. You can't keep score. And being, I'm not a big sports person with respect to any other sport except for baseball. I was just born that way, raised that way, and I love baseball. But it always baffled me, like, you can't play baseball without keeping score. But within a business sense, and even life with friends and family and people, just throw out the mental part of your brain that says to keep score, because you're right. Then you, I don't know the exact wording, but you basically end up, I could see how people could start resenting people if you keep giving and giving and don't get anything back, because that would be because you're keeping score.
Well, there are a couple of things here, and you bring up some great points. One is you want to give without attachment to the results. And, you know, and some people say, well, give without expecting anything in return. And I know what they mean. I think they mean attachment, because the fact is, I want people to expect good things to happen.
Right.
And the fact is, if you're giving consistently and you're providing great value to the marketplace and doing this with different, you are creating what we call that benevolent context for success.
Sure.
And the fact is, if you're giving and giving to someone who is a taker, who's just a go taker instead of a go giver, right? You don't want to be probably doing business with that person or what have you, because they're not someone who is someone you want to attract into your life. You've got to decide on that. I mean, there are people who, I'll tell you, I refer their information to people because I know their information's very good, even though personally, I might see them as someone who's more of a go taker, you know? But because they do have great value in certain areas, but I'm not attached to their having to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think when we do it that way, when we give without attachment, we actually, first of all, it's just much clearer, okay? Yeah. And we're able to attract those other go-givers, if you will, into our lives, and things just work out better that way.
So is it safe to say that your next book in the series here, you have four, the next book is not going to be called The Go Taker? Would that be accurate?
Well, yeah, you know, so it's funny because a lot of people think the opposite of a go giver is a go getter, but it's really not. Right. We like go getters because go getters take action. Okay. you know, you're a business person, very successful business person, and you know, we, everyone watching this, we all know, you can have the nicest thoughts, best ideas, greatest of intent, but unless action's put into the mix, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
So we love go-getters. And the neat thing is, plenty of go-getters are also go-givers. There's not a dichotomy. You know, there's not a false dilemma. It's not an or, it's an and. Right. And we would say that every go-giver is also a go-getter. The opposite of a go-giver is a go-taker. We say be a go-getter and a go-giver, just not a go-taker. And you know, Eric, that go-taker is the one whose focus is on themselves, on the take. It's always about them. And, you know, it's not that you can't build a business that way, but boy, is it a lot tougher to do so. It's a lot harder work. You're in it by yourself and very difficult to sustain.
Sure, sure. Well, listen, Bob, I appreciate your time today. It's been incredible meeting you finally. I've looked up to you for so long, so many years. I look forward to hopefully meeting John one day. And before we go, can you remind everybody how they can reach out to you and your team and even get your books and so forth? And you have other books besides the Go-Giver series too.
Yeah, and I thank you for mentioning John, because I really want to give him credit. He was the lead writer and storyteller. And when I approached him about co-authoring it, you know, he and Anna, his, well, back then his fiance, now his wife, they were in Tampa visiting her mom. And, you know, he was very busy at the time. I mean, he's a guy who really has a lot of people asking him to write books with them and to, but they actually drove 4 hours across state. And we had about a 3-hour dinner and just discussed what the book would be about. And even then, he didn't say yes. He and Anna discussed it for like 3 weeks. And finally, you know, he called me back and said, I think we've got something here. Mm-hmm. So I owe the two of them a real lot. You know, this book would never have been what it is without them. So I just want to acknowledge that, how grateful I am for both of them. My website's burg.com, where people can get a download chapter of any of the books to see if they like it first, check out the blog and all the fun stuff. And Eric, it's been great speaking with you. You know, it's just been so great getting to know you and to finally meet one of my good friends in person. Through Zoom, kind of in person, has been a big thrill for me.
That's right. And guys, if you're not already following Bob, regardless of the books, if you're not following him on LinkedIn, connect with him on LinkedIn, follow him on LinkedIn. It seems like at least a few times or more a week, he does a personal video. I recognize that bookshelf. He does a video right from his own, where he offers, it's usually 2 to 3 or 4, maybe 5 minutes. And it's usually a quick tip. It's 2 or 3 quick tips. And I tell you what it does for me is it a lot of times just reminds me of things that I had inadvertently forgotten within the book. You can only retain so much. So I really enjoy those. Please keep doing them. And I know people are finding value from them. So with that, I appreciate it. And you know, as I always say, and I just found out you always say, I don't ever say have a great day. I think it's ridiculous to have a great day. Make it a great day. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Rockstars Rocking Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. 5 stars would totally rock. Until next time, rock stars, keep rocking.